Tuesday, March 11th. First reading from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down, and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. Jesus said to his disciples, in praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. Haydock Commentary. Long prayer is not here forbidden, for Christ himself spent whole nights in prayer, and he saith, we must pray always, and the Apostle Paul, that we must pray without intermission. See 1 Thessalonians 5. And the Holy Church hath had from the beginning her canonical hours for prayer. What is forbidden is rhetorical and elaborate prayer, as if we thought to persuade God by our eloquence. Perseverance in prayer is recommended us by the example of the poor widow who, by her importunity, prevailed over the unjust judge. As God is the common Father of all, we pray for all. Let none fear on account of their lowly station here, for all are comprised in the same heavenly nobility. By saying, who art in heaven, he does not mean to insinuate that he is there only, but he wishes to withdraw the humble petitioner from earth and fix his attention on heaven. So says St. John Chrysostom. Other prayers are not forbidden. Jesus Christ prayed in different words, see John chapter 8, and the apostles, see Acts 1:24. But this is an example of the simple style to be used in prayer and is applicable to all occasions. Hallowed be thy name, from the word holy, be held and kept holy, be glorified by us, and that not only by our words, but principally by the lives we lead. The honor and glory of God should be the principal subject of our prayers and the ultimate end of our every action. Every other thing must be subordinate to this. Those who desire to arrive at the kingdom of heaven must endeavor so to order their life and conversation as if they were already conversing in heaven. This petition is also to be understood for the accomplishment of the divine will in every part of the world, for the extirpation of error and explosion of vice, that truth and virtue may everywhere obtain, and heaven and earth differ no more in honoring the supreme majesty of God. At the present in the Latin text, it is our supersubstantial bread. Yet the same Greek word in St. Luke is translated daily bread, as we say it in our Lord's Prayer, and as it was used to be said in the second or third age, as we find by Tertullian and St. Cyprian. Perhaps the Latin word supersubstantialis may bear the same sense as daily bread, or bread that we daily stand in need of. For it need not be taken for supernatural bread, but for bread which is daily added to maintain and support the substance of our bodies. It is also understood of the supernatural support of the grace of God, and especially of the bread of life received in the Blessed Eucharist. As we are only to pray for our daily bread, we are not to be over-solicitous for the morrow, nor for the things of this earth, but being satisfied with what is necessary, turn all our thoughts to the joys of heaven. God puts our judgment in our own hands, that none might complain, being the author of his own sentence. He could have forgiven us our sins without this condition, but he consulted our good in affording us opportunities of practicing daily the virtues of piety and mildness. These trespasses or debts signify not only mortal, but venial sins, as St. Augustine often teaches. Therefore every man, be he ever so just, yet because he cannot live without venial sin, ought to say this prayer. When we say, lead us not into temptation, we are not saying that God is the tempter of evil or author of sin, see James 1:13. He tempts no man. We pray that he would not suffer the devil to tempt us above our strength, that he would remove the temptations, or enable us to overcome them, and deliver us from evil, particularly the evil of sin, which is the first and the greatest, and the true efficient cause of all evils. In Greek we here read, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, which words are found in some old Greek liturgies. They do not occur in St. Luke, nor in any one of the old Latin copies, nor yet in the most ancient of Greek texts. The Holy Fathers prior to St. John Chrysostom, who have explained the Lord's Prayer, never mentioned these words. And not being found in Tertullian, St. Cyprian, St. Jerome, St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, and many others, nor in the Vatican Greek copy, nor in the Cambridge manuscripts, it seems certain that they were only a pious conclusion or doxology with which the Greeks in the Fourth Age began to conclude their prayers, much after the same manner as Glory be to the Father, etc., was added to the end of each psalm. We may reasonably presume that these words at first were in the margin of some copies, and afterwards by some transcribers taken into the text itself.